This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Bahamas. Good morning, good morning. It's Friday, February the 26th, 2021, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. Now listen, I know you know, but don't ever forget, you tuned in to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You could listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow 612. You know, if you got to plug your phone in and charge it, or you got to jump out the car, you got plenty of options to listen. You could download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. Now, it's a Friday morning. That means we're talking culture. Ba-dang, ding, ding, ding. Now, for y'all young folk out there, y'all may not know that tune. But that's something us old folks know and love. Especially the working folks who love when they could say, it's a Friday evening.
Bam!
But before we get into the culture, you know I gotta talk about some other things. I into all kind of culture. I into car culture and traffic culture. It's fascinating to me, right? Because I grew up right next to the U.S. My daddy used to collect cars. In fact, he had a Cadillac convertible, right? And he used to pile as many of his nieces and nephews and us in the car as possible and take us way out west to go look for cocoa plum and thing. So I know about car culture. But for an island that's so small, right? We have so many cars. It really makes me think, what is our car culture? And how do we think about cars and their place on our island? Right? I'm thinking about it all the time. So this morning when I was coming to work and I hit my favorite street, which is Marlborough Street, right? Not because I used to smoke cigarettes, because smoking cigarettes is bad for your health and you should diminish that. But because all the exciting things has happened at Marlborough Street. So again, this morning, approaching Marlborough Street and I noticed that the light is red. And my partner who's driving, because I'm not allowed to drive, you know, because I'm too critical. Like, I pay attention too much to what's happening around me. We realized the cars were running the light, and my friend said to me, is the light working? Because it looked like it's off. Now, mind you, if you're a driver in Nassau, you know when you approach Marlborough Street light in the daytime, if it looked like it off, that mean it red, right? That mean it red. And that's your responsibility as a driver to remember that, right? And so all these cars running the light, and when we get to the intersection, we confirm that the light is red, and before we turn left on red, we stop to make sure the intersection is clear. And I see a police car sitting on the Marlborough Street side on the green light. Y'all stun the police with how much y'all like to run red light, right? But what concerned me was the police didn't even blow a horn. Let me show you something, police. If you blow your horn at these people, they will moderate their behavior dead quick, you know. See, they like taking risks, but they don't like getting caught. And so, in this time of COVID and unemployment, you don't have to be hitting people up with all these big fines, you know. You just got to warn them constantly to moderate their behavior. And if you do it consistently, they'll take that cue, right? And so I realized maybe that's what the police, who is be by the Hilton in the morning, is doing, right? They're being visible to cause you to moderate your behavior. Not necessarily to penalize you, being looking for people to lock up, but to be visible to moderate your behavior. But I thought to myself, if they took 15 steps around the corner to Cumberland Hill, they could fill the treasury with money from people that don't like to use their turn signal. I bet some of y'all sell y'all turn signal to people right outside road traffic that needed to get their car inspected. Right? And so, I say this to say two things. Somebody need to fix the light at Marlborough Street. Please, just fix it. It's a dangerous intersection, especially when you know people are not adhering to the proper rules for turning left on red. The second thing is this. To the tour car that stopped in front of the pedestrian crossing, in front of Dunkin' Donuts, to let off an obviously young girl just out of high school who don't know when you're catching ride, you gotta be ready to jump out the car dead quick. You held all of us up for no reason. But more importantly, you made the pedestrian crossing a dangerous environment because nobody could see if anybody was entering the road from your side. See, this is about culture. This is about car culture and driving culture and the culture of how we interact with each other and what we think about each other. Look here, these things are very, very important, you know. So I wanted to say this morning that because I have some guests, and one of them is a civil servant, so I'm not going to ask politicians to take a pay cut today, unless, of course, they're going to take a pay cut to make sure that their ministries and the people that run them have the resources necessary to function at the level required for success, right? That's why you take a pay cut. We're not penalizing you. We're trying to share the resources. So like I said, it's a Friday morning, and we talk in culture. So look here. I'm a culture person. I write poetry. I perform improv political satire on stage and TV. I make junk new art. I used to sing in a band, but they only let me sing the Bob Marley songs, because it's in England, you know, and they know what my skill set was. And I have about 18 Androsia shirts I wear whenever I travel. I even into food culture, and I can brag just a little bit. I got a small company. And we were featured in an international magazine this weekend with a number of local artisans, both food and tourism and art, right? And so while I may call myself a cultural advocate, I am by no means a cultural expert or artisan, right? I'm not a professional. And so today's Culture Friday and the preceding Fridays, well, today and all Fridays are going to be called Culture Friday. And I am in the process of creating a relationship with a local cultural advocacy and creative consultancy group to ensure that we can bring to radio, to the Bahamian people, the professionals and ordinary Bahamians that dedicate their lives to preserving culture and to helping it grow. Now, that relationship has not been formalized yet, but I want to start the show by thanking Angelique McKay and Cultural Experience Productions, right, in initiating this conversation. And I want to say on air, it hasn't been formalized yet, and I hope that we can make it work. But Cultural Experience Productions is an experienced entity in cultural project management, development, and production. Cultural Experience Productions has been executing and partnering with some of the largest cultural events in the Bahamas. And you can follow them on Instagram at Cultural Experience Productions, right? I need you all to know, I think culture is so important. It is at the root and the core of national development. As an advocate, a human rights advocate, culture is the space that we draw from because the cultural artists capture the dreams, the visions, the struggles, the experiences of the average everyday person that drives this country. And those artists take those voices and they share them with the people, right? And that's how you create policy. You can't create policy without the voice of the people. And so, in all the conversations I have, I talk about political culture. We can talk about education culture. We can talk about agriculture culture. But on Friday, I want to dedicate this space to the voices of professional and ordinary Bahamians that are dedicated to driving culture, preserving culture, and growing culture. And I know that was a big intro. We're going to take a small break. I want y'all to hear something else. that the old people know. See, this, I happy to call myself an old head. I even like old people culture. And next week, I come into work in slips, in socks and sandals all week. Huh? Because culture is the thing. Anyway, you're listening to 96.9 FM. When we come back from the break, I'm going to introduce my guest. We're going to get this conversation started. Arlington, hit them with that thing. It come in. It's just like Junkanoo, you know. Sometimes you gotta wait 30 minutes or so for the band to get out. But the song coming.
I'm a Bahamian from the Bahamas. It's the place you vacation. Slam domino every occasion. If I did it over, I wouldn't change it. Cause this is what I love.
Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity. We're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. You're on the clock with Erin Green. And on the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. My guests today are Ian Mora and Christine Fernanda. Ian is joining us by Zoom and Christine Fernanda is in studio with us. Ian, you there? Oh boy, we're going to wait for Ian to get on the call. Ian, you there? Anyway, let's start the show. Christine Fernanda, first question. Introduce yourself. Tell us how you Junkanoo and what do you do in the Junkanoo world?
Okay, my name is Christina Fernanda.
Christina, my bad.
What most people don't know is that Christina is my middle name. My first name is actually Androsia, like the fabric. But everyone in the Junkanoo world knows me as Muffin.
Okay.
And I am the chairman of One Family Junkanoo Community Organization, the first female to lead any Junkanoo group, particularly the A category. I have been now the sitting chairman for, this is my third term.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was elected back in last year. So really, and I've been doing Junkanoo 35 plus years, started out with the Saxons,
mm-hmm.
as a little girl. When One Family started, I moved over with that new, young, and exciting talent. We are a diverse group, great bunch of individuals. And I really oversee the day-to-day operations of the entire organization.
Bob, listen, I know y'all didn't know. Next week is like Women's Month, right? I may have to have you on again. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. So women are doing big things.
In
Junkanoo. That's awesome. Let me see if Ian is in yet. Ian, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we got you. Good morning.
Right.
And so the first question,
good morning.
Introduce yourself. Tell us how you Junkanoo and what do you do in the Junkanoo world?
All right. First, my name is Ian Mora. And I'm very new to the Junkanoo world. I just got involved with Junkanoo with the rise of Genesis Junkanoo organization. And just recently, I was the chair of their outreach and community development. I'm a tom-tom drummer, and I got involved in Junkanoo to keep the culture alive.
Awesome. Awesome. So let me, so to my next question to both of you, what does the hashtag, or what does the Bigger Than Bay mean to you?
Well, Bigger Than Bay for me is that, you know, while we go to Bay Street in competition, it's about, 12 to 15 hours. Mm-hmm. But after that, and the dust is settled and everything's done, we're all friends. We're all friends, and we all congregate, we all hang. So it's not just about the competition. It's about friendship, family.
Yeah.
Because we have family members that belong to different groups. So with Bigger Than Bay, it's that. Plus, it's not all about just what we do on Bay Street. It's what we do in the community as well.
Mm-hmm. And Ian, what does Bigger Than Bay mean to you?
Well, I could be wrong, but I think it was as far as I know, it was Genesis that kind of coined that phrase of Bigger Than Bay. I could be wrong, but in coining the phrase, it wasn't something just for Genesis. It was just as the Sister Muffin said, it's about taking Junkanoo beyond just the parade. Junkanoo is a culture within it, in and of itself. Junkanoo is an economy in and of itself. Junkanoo is a way of thinking in and of itself. And so Bigger Than Bay is about taking the core essence of a Junkanoo, the creativity, the discipline, the working together, the making a way out of no way, and applying that to other areas. For Genesis, it has definitely been in the area of community development, as we would like to call it. Just trying to use our creativity in interesting ways. One of the things that we did, I hope I'm not jumping the gun on the questions, but one of the things that we did was we had something called, I Junkanoo. And that involved a reading program at various primary schools, and also assisting them with getting textbooks for a number of the classes. And so it's about taking the energy of Junkanoo and applying it to other areas that we could use that would help the country benefit.
All right, so let me delve into that a little bit more. In the last Junkanoo show I did with Andre John as a guest, I was referencing Festival in the Workplace, right? And I got the details. It's Roosevelt Finlayson. And Festival in the Workplace is a process aimed at using lessons from the Bahamas Junkanoo Festival and carnivals of the region and the Americas to give business insight on how to improve creativity, productivity, and passion, close quotes. And in your work, and you shared just now, you talk about using successful models in Junkanoo to better navigate our lives and environments outside the shack, but not just in the traditional or formal workplace. Can you share a bit with us about that, and if there are any programs going on right now or programs that you would have run before the pandemic that speak to this understanding of how successful Junkanoo models are?
Well, with One Family, we had a number of programs. We at one point we did a few health fairs. We also had the One Family summer camp that was ongoing. We have not done it now for about 3 years or so. We also had a program called Warriors for Excellence, mm-hmm. where we went into the schools, mainly Woodcock. We adopted the schools within the area.
Pause 1 second. Okay. Dear listening audience, you see how easy it is to adopt a school, right? If you've got a community organization, or if you are part of a Junkanoo group, encourage them to adopt a school. Go on.
So we went in and we gave them pins, those students that were excelling in school. Also, last year would have been the first time in 15 years that we did not host the One Family annual back to school giveaway, where we do school packets for about 200 kids every August, and we have the police come on hand with the dogs, road traffic, fire engine, give them a little show. We have guest speakers, and then we provide burgers, hot dogs, and we give away 200 school packets from pre up to high school. And we also ask students to bring in their report cards, and we give away bikes and tablets for the students with the highest GPA.
Awesome.
So last year would have been the first, because of the pandemic, that we were unable to host that event.
Mm-hmm. Look here. So for the people at home, because I used to be one of them, right? What are they doing with all this money? What are they doing with all this money? You could see that they are investing in their communities. Ian? You there?
Okay. I'm still here. First, your question was broad, so I'm glad that Muffin took it on first. But the whole idea, expanding on what I was saying before, is that, take for example, a lady like Muffin. In order for her to be successful at Junkanoo, she has to be able to motivate individuals from all different socioeconomic classes, all different backgrounds. That's the essence of Junkanoo. And for me, I don't know if we appreciate enough what all goes into the process. I know before I got involved, I loved Junkanoo, but I didn't have a true appreciation for the hard work and the determination and the creativity. We see the final product of the creativity at Bay Street, but there are a lot of skills that, that are involved in the whole process. Not only that, individuals who are in the groups have various skills. And so with our reading program, it was important for us to let students in the classes be exposed to individuals from maybe within their community and from outside of their community. I know going to schools and you you go in representing Genesis, and the students, they know somebody who is in Genesis. That's a particular kind of excitement that is generated by that. What Junkanoo is a collective of Bahamian people who making the impossible possible 2 times a year and even outside of that. Those skills and the efforts that go to make that happen. You know, every single group that comes to Bay Street is a success. Mm-hmm. That makes you like the best of the best in it, because not every group is able to make it there. It's a very hard process. And so what we want to do now is to begin to honor individuals who have been in leadership by looking at what they do, looking at the skills that they possess, and trying to expose that or using that in other areas. There's no shortage of Junkanoo groups that participate with schools and help them out at Junkanoo time for junior Junkanoo. Mm-hmm. That is an important role that schools, that Junkanoo groups play, that you really can't pay for it. Mm-hmm. But it's leading towards the cultural development of the Bahamas. So far, our aims have been purely on economic development, and the areas of culture have been like sort of put in like this exotic category, something that you put up on a pedestal, but not something that you actually use. But what if managers companies or entities where they have in trouble getting their individuals to buy in to what's going on, to buy into to good customer service, to buy into whatever program the entity is doing. They could probably learn something from the Junkanoo group leaders. And how do you motivate these same Bahamians? Because the same Bahamians that individuals in the private sector would say, they can't do this, they can't do that, they go and they do it in Junkanoo, sometimes for free. Sometimes they put their hand in their pocket. And so what we're trying to do, or what we're looking at, is how do we take these concepts and uplift them? Because what that does now is uplift not just the Junkanoo group in itself, but it uplifts those individuals from the leader to the guy who's hanging out in the shack who really makes it happen. You know, these stories have to be told. There are people who've been recording Junkanoo for so long, and they have like a cadre of information. Mm-hmm. And we live in a time now where information is so important. We're in a time now where being able to stand out means to be able to be unique. And even though Junkanoo is not unique to us in the Bahamas, the particular way that we do it,
is unique
and
to
what
us.
Is involved in it is unique to us. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is that the same way that we all come together around Junkanoo, if we take those same concepts, those same energy, those same ideas, and apply them in other areas, perhaps we would be as successful as all the Junkanoo groups that make it out twice a year on Bay Street.
Absolutely. And success is, well, I got a caller, but success is when you end the season saying they rob us, and you start the season saying, hurry up and come, we ready to go to Bay.
Yeah.
Right? So I got a caller on the line, Ian. Give me 1 second. Caller, you're on the clock.
The universe along with you, Ian and Muffin.
Good morning.
Aaron.
How are you?
I'm holding, thank God, for what it is, despite all. First, I want to say to you, wearing socks with sandals keep a lot of dust off your feet. That's great.
Yes, and mosquitoes.
And mosquitoes, that's right.
It's a national and personal security strategy.
Right. Mosquitoes don't get to sting you. Some people believe mosquitoes bite, but mosquitoes sting. Dog bites.
No, look here. These said where I live, they sting you to tell you they're here and bite you to tell you they're gone.
Gotcha. Hey, well, yeah, my friend was saying.
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm all in. Raymond here. Now, first I want to ask you a question before I get to Aaron. I'm into Ian. Pardon me. You speak of giving the students pens, right? To the school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you something. My question here is, those children in which you give pens, did you or your group help them to be in the position in which they are in order for you to give them pens? In other words, did you help with their development, or is only because they were fine students, they were great students?
Well, like I said, remember I spoke of the annual back-to-school event that we host every year. So given those school packages, that helps. That's a start. That's a help. We had book fairs. We had health fairs. We all in Junkanoo, there's a vast variety of persons involved. There are lots of teachers. People don't realize there are lots of teachers.
We have
educators within the Junkanoo system.
And to me, it feels like they're not only supporting the students by ensuring that they have the resources and materials they need to do the work,
right. But
they're also building a culture of appreciation for education.
I got you.
By showing
got you.
The students that...
Don't let my time run out.
Okay, yeah, sorry, go on. I know it's your time, go on.
Okay.
Because I got another question for you.
Okay.
But
okay,
I didn't call it wrong, because it's called the X Club.
Okay, the X Club.
Ian.
Yes, sir.
You speak of monetary development, right? Now...
Yes, sir.
This development in which you speak to, right? How wide is that pertaining to the Junkanoo group or groups? That's my first question before I make my comment.
Well, the way that I see it, and I can only give my opinion on it, the way that I see it, the potential of Junkanoo is infinite. It's infinite. It just depends on which lens we're using to look at it.
Well, I agree to that. But when it comes to the finance, right? When it comes to the money in which drunkenness cost to be made, right? And this all area, you know, those that's in authority. The thing is, only a certain amount of people get a part of that money. You understand? And what I'm saying is, right, you got guys who were rushing for years, carrying those heavy drums, ringing those heavy cowbells. The majority of them get nothing, but everybody else who are picked for certain situations get a part of the pie. It's like slavery. You know, not because drunkenness love drunkenness, but I think something should be given to them to show, and you all know exactly what I'm talking about, their appreciation. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The drunkenness people make millions of dollars, okay? Millions of dollars a year, and where they would go? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The drunkenness gets nothing, the majority of them, okay?
Well,
and I think something needs to be given. You should not have drunkenness rushing year-round every year, you know, because they love it. And not only that, they go in their own pockets lots of time, the majority of time, all the time, to help better their costume.
And the group's chances of winning. Thank you, Bremen.
Now, what's your question to me? Here?
Well, I wanted you to know that I had been thinking about your question for the whole time since the show with Andre John and last week and this week when you came in. And so I want you to know that I want to address that issue, right? And I don't know if I can have all the people in one conversation or a panel discussion. Because I think it's a series of questions we need to ask and answer before we could get to your question, right?
Yes, and before I go, right?
Yeah.
Government, right? They want drunkenness the drunkenness group.
I got you. Yeah, yeah.
Every year.
I got you. No, listen.
Talking about tourists and everything.
Thank you, Bremen.
What do we get?
I got you, Bremen.
Thank you.
Right. Because the question I want to ask all my drunkenness guests, but they're listening audience, they are under no obligation to answer it, right? Because it may not be the space that they work in. It may not be their interest. Or because of the politics of drunkenness organizing and the way that the groups are constructed, they may not be able to speak to it specifically. But it's a series of questions that we need to ask to answer your question, Raymond.
If you need help, hang up and then dial.
Thank you. The first is, who does drunkenness belong to?
Drunkenness belongs to the people.
Right. See, because Bremen asked the question, if the government wants to build platforms for tourism that use drunkenness or engage drunkenness, right, then what is the compensation for the people who are actually performing in that moment and creating the literal experience with their bodies? Should there be a specific compensation for them, right? And how does the drunkenness community organize labor in that sense? But also, if the drunkenness community is taking on the work of preserving, growing, and enhancing the culture and performance of drunkenness, to what extent should we compensate the drunkenness committee for taking on the responsibility of managing sort of oversight and managing the growth of this culture and creating a space where those particular performers who are making money, right, can come to recharge, to get advice? Because, like, you know, one trumpeter could compose a song or a line or a melody, but it'd take a whole bunch of trumpeters to play it. And then it'd take an audience of trumpeters and musicians to tell them whether it sound good or not, right? Like, It's an ecosystem. And so we as a people have to have this conversation, like generally, but we have to center the drunkenness and the cultural experts in the conversation. And then we got to have a conversation about the politics of culture. And to what extent does the government get to use culture to further its own agenda? and what compensation to the people generally and to the community that generates or is responsible for holding that culture, what compensation do they deserve? See, I played a song, I asked the producer to play a particular song this morning by Nakis Gay called I'm a Bahamian. Mm-hmm. And I asked him to play the song because I love hip hop and contemporary songs that successfully lay a Junkanoo sample in it, right? And I think that's one song that could connect young people to old Junkanoo culture and to sort of keep alive and sustain new Junkanoo culture. Right? I can't say to Nakis that he can't use Junkanoo sample in his music. Now, if it's a particular beat designed by a particular group or artisan, then Nakis got to go talk to those people about the copyright and about using that intellectual property. But I can't tell Nakis you can't make music with Junkanoo in it until you speak to the Junkanoo community. But Christina, go on. Sorry, I talk.
No, I agree with you, but you know, people always look at it that there's so much millions of dollars in it, but at the end of the day, it's not money that we make. We beg, mm-hmm. we solicit and beg for the funds that we use to get to Bay Street. It causes any major group anywhere from $150,000 up to get to a parade, and that is not inclusive of what persons spend out of pocket. Mm-hmm. Me, myself, personally, I could spend anywhere from $1,500 to some $2,000 on a costume for one morning, mm-hmm. for one parade. And but to say compensate, when you get the prize monies in, if mm-hmm. you were to break it down to say give every member mm-hmm. a piece of the prize monies.
But they would get soda?
Yeah. You probably get a soda and a chip. You might get a bamboo snack.
Yeah.
You know?
Look here. those companies, please call Guardian Radio and tell them you want to sponsor because you enjoy this conversation.
You know? You might get a bamboo snack. And so what we do is, besides individual prizes in my organization, We pay them out because an individual who invests in their own piece, they go and then they compete for that. But we take a percentage because some of the material you're getting from the group. So what we do is we take those monies in. We might throw a party here or there if it's feasible to have it, depending on where you placed in the parade. And after that, those funds are used to go and buy material for the following year. Paper comes all the way from Germany.
And I mean, you can't pace in the dark.
No.
You can't pay electricity bill.
And right now, as it stands, because we don't really have home bases, we're renting spaces. Persons who have shacks and all of that attached to their homes. So now you have to pay light bills. All of those things we never had to do before. Mm-hmm. So now we're paying light bill, water bills. You have to make sure persons eat mm-hmm. and make sure that they're comfortable while they're in their work, and especially those ones that stay in as it gets closer during the late night. You want to make your members feel as comfortable as you can, as best as you can afford.
Because they're artisans and they're creatives and sensitive, right?
I said to someone the other day that Junkanooers are... We all have, you could say, a master's or a doctorate degree in art that cannot be taught in any college or university.
Right. So, Ian, I come into you right now, and Carl, I come into you too. So, Brayman, I need you to know. Thank you.
We're artists.
Right, and your intervention is necessary because the flip side of this discussion is, dear Bahamian people, what are you prepared to invest in your country?
And
keep the culture alive.
And if you want to keep it going and you want to sell the product, you have to market.
Right.
So.
Right. We have to.
Yeah, we have to. You have to market us better. Market. Junkanoo is a product. So you have to do better marketing with the product to sell the product.
Right. If that's what you want to do. So I got to, Ian, I got to call on the line. And then I want to ask you to weigh in after this call. Is that okay? Or are you burning to go?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, Aaron, how you doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Good afternoon. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to be quick, anyway. I'm going to get a few minutes in your time.
Yeah, yeah.
A long time ago in Jackson, Lake Jackson, Burnside, when he had his talk show on the National Voice, I talk about a drunk new market, similar to the Strawweight market on Bay Street. This drunk new market somewhere on our walk, a big market when folks finish with their custom men and all of that, they could present that at a market and tourists could buy it and they get their money back because on the same line what Brimo was saying, a great people who pace, build custom, what have you, basically they don't get nothing from it. It goes to waste. So mm-hmm. the group only get a prize money, but individuals get nothing. Mm-hmm. Or they get something to get party and drinking or what have you. But that's my concept. My concept is marketing, money, making money of it. So a drunk new groups or organizations should be to get together, look at some type of drunk new market. Like I said earlier, go in, buy the custom, and the price to a shareholder or the bidder of the custom, or who the sole owner of the custom, will get their money. Mm-hmm. A lot go to waste right after you finish drunk, but you see more of them on Bay Street dragging all the boats. So sad. Tourists take them, carry them up the United States or Canada, build them back up and sell them.
Yeah.
But most of them go to waste in the garbage truck.
Absolutely.
And it shouldn't be that way, so we need to think about that.
Oh, yeah.
And as I said, Aaron, I'm talking to you. Have a good day.
Thank you. I will have a whole show just about ideas, just people calling and texting in and a couple of experts so we could interrogate ideas around how to make Junkanoo, how to put it in its proper place, mm-hmm. right? Anyway, let me get to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock. You got a couple of seconds. Good morning, caller. You still there? Oh, you're gone, caller. Not a problem. Ian? You still
there? Yeah. So money in Junkanoo is like a very emotive issue, mm-hmm. you know, and I pride myself on being a listener to all the various sides, to hear what's really being said. Sometimes when emotion is involved, I have to clear away the emotion to really hear what people are saying. And what I hear as a recurring theme is like, what is the value of culture? That's not something that we in the Bahamas are struggling with. How do you monetize something that people have been doing out of love? And the reality of the situation is it becomes very expensive to do it out of love. And so people are asking a question from a very genuine place. When they hear the large numbers that are being called, it's quite easy when you don't know what's happening with the money to say, well, okay, there's some sort of mischief or something going on. And so it speaks to Junkanoo groups, as the members are saying, evolving, you know, evolving to the point where there's greater transparency. And I do think that Junkanoo groups are aware of that and would probably be making some efforts. It might be able to be more, but there will always be more because Junkanoo will always be growing. And so there's that transparency that would help people. But it's not only on the junk. That's why I say the potential is like infinite, because it's not only on the Junkanoo groups to do this on the whole. We have intellectuals who can study this. What is the financial situation behind Junkanoo groups? How does the money go? It doesn't have to be so in depth that it goes into like the personal, the deep finances of the group, but just about the process. How what actually happens? Because it's in secrecy that problems actually come about, mm-hmm. and so. There are opportunities for the intellectuals among us, and they might be junkanoos or they might not be, the professors at the University of the Bahamas, those who are in the economics and that sort of thing, the economics of junkanoo. These are things for us to study and help us to understand ourselves. And from those academic studies, other things can be built upon. Mm-hmm. And it helps the not just the junkanoo to grow, but it helps the whole nation to grow. Now, when I talk about infinite possibilities, you have to divide that into macro, which is large scale, and micro, which is short, right, which is small. When you talk about macro, a lot of the members are talking about that macro, where there's a big money machinery that at the end of the day, there's some return in. In order for that to happen, when you see an investor invest $200,000 into a business, they want to see some sort of financial return from that. But before they do that, they're going to put a lot of groundwork into it to make sure that the idea is feasible, to make sure all their paperwork and everything, whatever requirements are there. There's a lot of studying by behind the scenes work that goes into developing the industries as they eventually become industries, don't just drop out of the sky. And so what we have now is, how do we channel the resources that we do have into those areas so that it could bring a return? How do the tertiary education institutions that we have pour into that whole process so that we can all have a return, so that we could all have a return from it? And that's at the macro level. Mm-hmm. So you're developing like an industry where people can be employed or they can use their skills to create some sort of revenue source. That's at the macro, and I think that's necessary. But in order for it to truly grow, there has to also be some micro. The individuals that have ideas within of themselves put in the work to make things happen. Angelique McKay, she had the Junkanoo Festival, and I thought it was a wonderful idea, a wonderful concept. It seemed to be like the next level, where individuals could save their costumes, make them a part of this festival, and then individuals could buy it. You know, these are the types of things that we need. And Angelique, I would imagine, would have had to put in a lot of footwork in order to make that happen. She would have to, when you're creating new industries, you're gonna get knocked down. There's a lot of personal investment, but in the end, this is why we hold these people up high, because they would have made that personal investment. Yes. For all of us to be able to benefit from. So that's at the micro level. If you are a paster, what can you do with the resources that to monetize yourself? Yes.
Yeah. Ian, I'm running out of time. I know why I asked Ms. McKay to find you. And I know why I can be begging you to come back on, right? And I can be begging you to come back on, and Christina, if the government will let her, as often as possible, right? Because I think when people think about junkanoo, they just think we're going to talk about who robbed who and why we ain't getting more prize money and where the bleachers are. But this discussion about junkanoo, interrogating it and exploring it, will show us and how we have the tools we need to fix the problems we have right in front of us. And we have been developing these tools in our everyday lives and doing the things that are most important to us. So I sorry to cut you short. Caller, you got 3 seconds. Caller. This is a hard show because I got to read these texts before we end the show. Thank you, text. A great show as usual. No one goes on Marlboro Street smoking cigarettes. They drive through there smoking illicit narcotics. This guy called it cigar weed. I don't know about that culture. Hi, this may be off topic, but after hearing about the coach who committed suicide in the U.S. and his connection to Larry Nassar, why women don't lobby against male gynecologists. Well, thank you, Texter. Next month, well, this month coming right now, we're going to be focusing on women's issues, gender-based violence, gender issues. So maybe we'll interrogate that, or you send me another note so I could get a better sense of what you're talking about. Ms. Green, there's no light on Marlboro Street. I think you have the wrong street name. I probably do have the wrong street name, Texter, because nobody seems to feel the need to replace street signs, right? But so the road I mean is the one by Central Bank with the curve. So I think you go from Shirley to King to Duke to Cumberland, right? So the one by the Central Bank, the one where the light looked like it off when it red. Thank you, Texter. Thank you, Green Too Straight. You must be a DNA for real. Morning. The reason why persons are so motivated to participate in Junkanoo versus them being on the job is because Junkanoo is something they love. Many, if not most, are employed on jobs they don't necessarily love. It is therefore impossible to get persons to feel as motivated towards work as they do towards Junkanoo, unless work becomes something they love. Question is, how do you get persons to love a job they hate doing? We all can't get the job we want. For many people, it's not the job that they hate. It is the environment. It is the lack of management or attention to management. It is hostility in the workplace. It is low pay, not being paid a livable wage. It is the stresses of life outside of the workplace that make work difficult sometimes. And these are things that we could talk about, and these are things that Junkanoo could help us explore. I got one more text here. I come in right now, Arlington. I hear the music. I got to get these texts. Good morning. Junkanoo is also a social outlet for many young people from all walks of life. Sometimes there are young and even older people who are unable to afford the parades, and because these people are interested and show commitment and discipline, the members of those organizations pay for those who can't afford it. Those who do not participate in Junkanoo see a reason to be paid. No real Junkanoo feel they should be paid to display their culture on Bay Street. Now, for shows to be displayed for tourist parties, Junkanooers should be paid more than what they are paid now, but not for Bay Street. It is for the love of culture from a proud lady aunt. So the people in the Junkanoo community know who that is. And last text, that's Frederick Street, Aaron. Honey, thank you. As you know, I don't have no money. I don't know nothing about Central Bank or the places where you always keep the monies in town, the cake and thing like that. All I know is put the street signs up. Fix the street lights. Focus on driving culture and car culture. Not for me, for us, to keep each other safe. I got this last thing to read. I come in right now, cuz. This last thing to read. If you don't know how important Junkanoo is, let me tell you this quick story. My mother teach me how to thief Junkanoo pieces from the side of the road. Now, it ain't thiefing if you abandon it, right? And we put up this piece in the house. And one day, this workman came to the house, and he walk inside my front door, and he say, where you get that from, miss? I say, why? He said, I made that. And I made that man take a picture with the piece. I made him take a picture with the piece and my mother. And I made him sign a card to attach to the piece. Because ever since my mother got that piece, we have to call the front door the foyer. Because it's fancy now. Because Junkanoo is valuable culture. Thank you, Christina.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ian. I'm going to have you all back on again. I'd like to thank Angelique McKay and the Cultural Experience Productions for supporting this effort today and their continued support. I'm going to talk to you more in the future about that relationship. My relationship with culture comes from the heart, and I want to grow this relationship, and I want us Bahamians to grow this relationship with culture, because this is you. This is how you're going to learn to love yourself through your culture. Have a good day, Bahamas. I got to go spy on some people, Tamarind Tree. You're listening to 96.9. You've been on the clock with Aaron Green. And coming up next is Unleashed with Levan Miller. Have a great day, Bahamas.